Support for Faith Matters comes from the law offices of Mullen, Hoard, and Brown, LLP, offering a full range of legal services to regional and national clients. Mullen, Hoard, and Brown are members of ALFA International. More information is available at 765-7491 or mullenhoard.com.
Welcome to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health, celebrating 100 years of faith and healing for Eastern New Mexico and West Texas. Covenant Health's mission continues to be ministry through healing by caring for the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. Now here's your host, Tom McGovern.
I'm Tom McGovern, host of Faith Matters, and this is the Sunday before Christmas, and it's my special privilege to bring you some Christmas voices. I'm so delighted to introduce as one of those voices Dr. Amy Thompson. I claim Amy as one of my own. I knew her in med school as a student and then as a resident, and now she's providing such elegant leadership for our children's hospital here at Covenant in Lubbock. Welcome, Dr. Amy Thompson.
Well, thank you so much for having me today. So it brings me back to when I was in your class, which doesn't seem like that long ago, but maybe it has been a few years.
as we say in West Texas, it's a far piece.
Yeah, that's right.
Amy, you're a child of the plains of West Texas, of Dumas and Plainview, and now Lubbock.
Yes, sir. I
was Texas Tech, true and true.
Absolutely. I was born in Dumas. I was raised for a lot of my young life in Plainview, Texas. I feel like everyone who's in my family that's been to college has been to Tech. I told my family I wasn't going there, and this is what happens. I both went to undergrad, medical school, and residency at Texas Tech. Love Lubbock, Texas, and we'll live here.
We are so fortunate to have you here, and the leadership you provide for children's needs in this city and in the surrounding area is so outstanding. Amy, as you think of a child growing up in West Texas especially, what memories of Christmas come for you?
When I was only practicing, when I was in the hospital, I'm a pediatric hospitalist, and so I've actually spent a lot of holidays through my career at the hospital. So I have a lot of memories of children being in the hospital, you know, during the holidays. One of the reasons I love children's hospitals is we try to do fun things for them while they're in the hospital. But I have to tell you, the thing that was always the most meaningful to me, I have two children of my own, a son who's 17, Roman, and a son who's 9, JJ. And when they were growing up, when I was practicing full-time in the hospital, bringing them with me to the hospital and really having them understand what it meant for kids to be in the hospital on Christmas and on holidays, I think was an important thing for my children as well. We never want kids to be in the hospital. I think it's especially hard when it's the holidays. I have such great staff, folks that work for me at Covenant. My favorite new thing we've done is we have, where everybody who works at the hospital, we call them caregivers. So irregardless of what you do, we label you as a caregiver because we believe that you're there to provide care. They're so great at making those holidays and things special for those kids.
I love your sense of community. As I remember, you always had that. And a hospital is not just an institution or a business or a building. It's a community of caregivers. How lovely.
Yes, I'm privileged to work. When I practice, I still am a Texas Tech physician, of course. I'm privileged to work with just fine, fine colleagues who really believe in the idea of medicine as a calling, not just a job. Wonderful people.
This Christmas time especially, as we welcome over and over again a Christ who is always with us, but especially the coming of Christ in his infancy as a child, as a baby. What does that evoke for you?
I'm a Christian. I'm actually married to a pastor. My husband is the pastor at Redeemer Church.
And his name is?
His name is Dusty Thompson.
Where is the church at?
It's at 66th and Elgin. So my faith is really important to me. It's the essence of, I think, who it is that I am. But it's also true. We talk a lot at the hospital about doing our service in the ministry and in the way that Jesus would do it. And that's an important thing that we believe at Covenant. That's how we want to do our work. I hope that my life is something that exemplifies that. I hope that I learn more and more how to be the hands and feet of Jesus. It's an important part of who I am, not just at the church, but also in what it is that I do for a living. Nothing more important to me than my faith.
As you look this Christmas time to the needs of children in our community, which you are so devoted to, what are some special Christmas wishes you have or prayers or whatever?
You know, when I look at all of the services that we provide, they're so great in the city, but there's so much more that needs to be done. I think in particular about children with just behavioral health issues, mental health issues. We have so much need, both for adults as well as children, but specifically with children, that it's just a large area that we need to continue to grow how it is that we're ministering to these folks who suffer from these things. That would be a wish that I would have, is that we could build something and be able to provide better for those needs for kids. We believe in treating the whole person, and these are things that just exist in our city and in our culture, and we do have to learn how to take that stigma away, but also just to learn how to embrace those patients and really care for them as whole people.
As this program comes the Sunday before Christmas, as a mom to begin with, and then as a beautiful, caring physician, what would your thought or perhaps prayer be for parents who have little ones who are ill this Christmas?
My prayer, as always, is just for healing. We always start with healing for those children and just for peace for their families. I pray that we would be able to minister to those families when they're in the midst of our hospital. But I just pray that they would know that the Lord is in control, that He's got them in whatever things come. And we always talk a lot about that. God is not surprised or shocked at what is happening. He doesn't always like things that are happening, but He is in control, and we have a Father who understands us. So just the prayer that they would have the peace of Christmas this time of year.
As you would reach into families as they gather in a few days for Christmas, what would you hope for families this Christmas?
I just hope that they recognize, if you do have children that are well, I pray that you would just recognize the blessing that that is and hold your kids close. Not everybody is blessed with those circumstances this Christmas. And then I pray that we would have eyes to see those around us who are hurting and in need and who have sickness, hunger, all the things that plague us, that we would be able to reach out to them and really love them and minister to them.
I have a hope, and I think it's shared by you, is that I have a hope that there be peace on earth, and as it begin with me, adaptation of the beautiful prayer of St. Francis. How do you see that in terms of hope and peace beginning on a one-to-one basis and then spreading out in a wonderful wave?
You know, we've got to begin with all the folks that we just come into contact with. I think every day the Lord allows you to come into contact. Our job as believers is to be the hope. And I literally say we have to be the hands and feet of Jesus to give them hope and encouragement and prayer. I believe in prayer and in praying for those folks that they would have peace. But it starts with us. It starts with how it is that we're ministering to them.
I'm so grateful, Amy, that you're with us this day. On behalf of the station here, Big Chuck, Luke, and myself, and all the people who work here, our gratitude to Covenant for being such gracious sponsors of our Sunday afternoon programs of Faith Matters. And I know how you're concerned. Faith does really matter.
It does.
And I'm so grateful for that. A final thought.
It's been my pleasure to be on with you today. There's no one who has done as much for our community of faith as you've been giving to me for a long time. It's my pleasure to be on with you. And it's our pleasure at Covenant to sponsor this segment because we believe in it.
Thank you so much. May you and your family have a blessed Christmas, and especially with your husband and your special community of faith.
Thank you.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health. Since 1918, Covenant has brought together world-class physicians, nurses, and professionals whose sacred mission is compassionate care for every patient. And as Lubbock's most awarded hospital for high-quality patient care, you know you're in caring hands. For more information and to see our 100 years of medical milestones, visit covenant100.org.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
I'm Tom McGovern, host of Faith Matters, and we're continuing this afternoon our program of Christmas Voices. And it's my delight to welcome back to Faith Matters my friend of so many years, Reverend Davis Price. Before we came on air, we were wondering how we would describe you as an elegant human being to begin with, but how would you describe yourself now as a pastor?
Well, the title I've been given is Honorably Retired Minister of the Word and Sacrament. That's what our denomination does. I carry that title, but I continue to be basically in love with the people around here. It seems to me to be what pastoral relationships are all about. While I'm not doing that in a particular congregation and those responsibilities, it is a continuing of the relationship with the people of West Texas, because Janet and I are native West Texans.
Both of you have always done that so beautifully, and you have more freedom now to be that ambassador of goodwill, of freedom, of understanding, of tolerance. How does this fit into the season of Christmas, as far as you're concerned?
I'm always struck at this time of the year by the sort of competing emotions. The way I would put it, it's almost as if with any other birth, we are both awestruck and joyous. I can say that I've never been a big fan, particularly keen on describing this as Jesus' birthday. That has never for me made a lot of sense, because it's something far more than that. And this season, I think that mixture comes through in many ways for many people, not even just Christians. But you can feel it in the whole culture and, of course, in many ways, with the whole Northern Hemisphere.
Light in the darkness, hope.
All of that, exactly. And in fact, you know, we have to think about the Christmas season being a Christian counter-festival to what we call pagan festivals. I think they were still right on, because they were doing exactly what you're describing. Shall the winter solstice finally bring us back light? Been moving toward darkness, now we need light. I think that the way I would rather describe this season, instead of Jesus' birthday, as the birth of the Christ child. Because when we start talking about the Christ as the symbol, the Christian symbol, of what it is that we expect for this whole world, then we begin to get into something far more deep, far more universal. I think in many ways, all cultures, all religions have their Christ. We might call it, from a Christian perspective, their unknown Christ. As Paul would say to the Athenians, you worship an unknown God. This unknown Christ, I think, is at the heart of this season, because we feel this sense of awe, which moves us to being quiet and still, and at the same time, a sense of joy because of what might be, who we could be as people on this earth. I find it a very interesting time to think about the birth of the Christ in us.
You've done that so beautifully, though, throughout your whole lifetime that I've known you. What would your special prayer be, continuing prayer, for our community to which you and I are so, I think, passionately devoted?
I think it would be that we could find that time for ourselves, each of us, and perhaps in groups, to be still, to be awestruck at what God would do in us, to open ourselves to the birth of the Christ child in us, the birth of the Christ in us, that we might become divinized is the big word, that we could become fully who God has made us to be. It takes us some quiet reflection and some space to do that. I think this season provides it. We get caught up too often in the total celebration and forget that under that celebration, there lies something like a quietness, being awestruck at what God can do in each of us.
What would you say to our listeners by way of preparation of their own inner being for this Christmas or for this time of peace, you know, across all human search for the divine, but in a particular way to Christians?
I was struck again the other day by Peter, Paul, and Mary singing of don't let the light go out. Light one candle. I think that that's exactly what we need to be doing in this season, to remember again that the light that is in us, as the darkness increases and we turn toward the light that is in us needs a quiet, still space to be born so that we can be fully human to others and to those around us. I hope that season of Christmas would be exactly this for everybody who's listening.
What a beautiful thought. An invitation to our listeners to enter into the spirit of the season. To women folk especially, with their special role in Christmas, what's the challenge of us men to womankind?
To be total partners with them. To perhaps relieve them occasionally of that baking and the cooking and the preparation and say, I'll help with that so that we can have some quiet time together.
So be a gift to each other.
Indeed.
Davis, to all your years from your youth onwards, any special memories of Christmas that strike you that you might like to share with our listeners this Sunday afternoon?
Probably for many people, particularly Christians and others, a candlelit ceremony of quiet and singing Silent Night.
Yeah.
It's a staple of almost every Christmas season, but I think it goes to the heart of what I've been describing. Prepare that place, prepare that light, remember it, hold on to what God has given us in that light, and share it with others. It takes that quiet foundation for us to be able to celebrate and joyously embrace everyone else in their own traditions and in their own ways of becoming the people that God has made them to be.
Yeah, in Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, all people of goodwill.
Indeed.
I was thinking the Great War and what happened in the trenches. People came out of the trenches from both sides and joined in a Christmas celebration in no man's land. How does that strike you?
That's a remarkable story, and I guess I've heard it told several times. I've even used it a few times.
Yeah.
It goes to the fact that we share a common humanity and that we have the potential to be something other than combatants.
We're all entrenched in
absolutely
something.
Absolutely.
To come out of in families, politically, otherwise. How about coming out of our trenches?
Our tribal trenches, right.
Exactly. What is the invitation then?
The invitation is to come out of those and see in the other, as we as Christians would describe it, the Christ, to be able to see what God would do in us. And to let that happen, it cannot happen if we are defensively in our trenches.
Davis, it's always a delight to be with you, and thank you so much for joining us as one of our beautiful Christmas voices, and blessings to you and your family in this special season.
Thank you, Tom.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health. Since 1918, Covenant has brought together world-class physicians, nurses, and professionals whose sacred mission is compassionate care for every patient. And is Lubbock's most awarded hospital for high-quality patient care, you know you're in caring hands. For more information and to see our 100 years of medical milestones, visit covenant100.org.
Support for Faith Matters comes from Hospice of Lubbock, serving the 19-county South Plains region since 1986. The staff offers faith-based end-of-life care for both children and adult patients. More information is available at hospiceoflubbock.org.
Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. This is Davis Price, and I have the honor of interviewing Tom McGovern, the host of this program. So we get to ask Tom a few questions about his understanding and experiences of Christmas. Tom, we've known each other a long time, as you have already stated, and I've watched you in many roles and the gifts that you have given to this community and continue to give to this community. I am amazed the different ways that you have found to do ministry and to be a part of this people. But your roots are in another place once upon a time.
Absolutely.
And I'm wondering if you could share with us a little bit of what it is to be a Celt, to have a Celtic Christmas.
Oh, it takes me back to my childhood in Ireland. When Christmas Day began the Christmas season, of course it has changed, but in my childhood, it began on Christmas Eve and went on for the 12 days of Christmas until the Feast of the Epiphany. Think back when I grew up, born in 35, so my earliest memories prior to World War II and then the war years. We didn't have a lot, but we had a lot. My dad didn't refer to Santa Claus, he called him Father Christmas, which is so beautiful in keeping with St. Nicholas. And the gifts that we got at Christmas were placed at the foot of our bed. It might be a toy, or in the wartime, if we got an orange or something, my goodness, that was a wonder of wonders. As part of a large family, a second born of 10. We didn't have a Christmas tree as such, but we did have Christmas decorations. Remember those kind of decorations, you pull them out and you can hang them. It was a time of plenty. Christmas time, we had everything that we could be given in terms of food and comfort and joy came alive at Christmas.
That's a beautiful image. I'm wondering how that image of having not much but yet bounty in the middle of little has influenced your ministry and your work. Has that Celtic Christmas moved forward in you?
Continually abides in me between needs and wants. The great need I have personally and beyond myself is a need for community and a need for others. I am most fully satisfied when I'm in a relationship, and I'm most delighted in the communities that I've been privileged to be part of when we can continue to develop those relationships. And my precious hope this Christmas for Tony and I when we visit with Lexi and Miguel, Mari Luna, Esperanza Luz, and Tomas in Los Angeles this Christmas, my hope is that all of us together will have a special, unique celebration of enoughness to give thanks for this Christmas.
Would you say something about how these Christmas traditions have been a part of your ministry when you were a pastor, and then how that carried over into the work you did at the medical school?
You know, I find myself at bragging my age now for a second. Though Tony says I shouldn't declare my age publicly because she doesn't want to be married to an old man, but I'm coming 84. As I think back, when I first came to Lubbock as a priest of Christ the King, I remember being impressed by the special celebration, the joyous celebration, the liturgical celebration of Christmas as a high season. The more I can celebrate, enter into the challenge of a longing Advent, the more realized my Christmas each year is, that yearning for the divine, not yet fully realized until we die, but yet present in the struggle to become light, each of us individually and as communities become light to the world. That became a part of my Christmas. I also remember, Davis, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. What are they doing at home now? My dad was dead then. What's Mommy doing? What are the kids doing as they get together? And I've always been that connected across the miles. I'm having that living memory of them with me, very much alive at that time of the year. So that's a very, very special Christmas remembrance. I remember when I then joined the medical school, especially in, as people struggled. I would be remiss if I didn't mention this. The most desperate Christmas of my life when I almost died was a year when I found my recovery from my alcoholism. That was the darkest, bleakest. I remember getting lost here in Lubbock in a blackout walking prior to Christmas, and then finding recovery and light in the season. So this is a special Advent when I have gratitude for me to be alive, to God's grace and love to be restored through the love of others, especially people in recovery. And that is a special part of my Christmas remembrance and of my celebration of the joy of the season. Earlier on, we had Dr. Amy Thompson, who is the CEO from our beautiful sponsors and from the beautiful health givers and caregivers at Covenant. She remembered that she had worked most of her life after post her MD on holidays, but she would take her children with her to the hospital at Christmas time to show them that, sure, it's light and celebration, but it's also people suffering and finding light and meaning to the Christ child at Christmas time especially. I was so impressed by that. I had a like experience for many, many Christmases. People were in recovery from their substance use disorders and be able to share some of the joy of the season with them, with their families. I think, Davis, at this stage in my life, all my experiences flow together. It's not one transposing or replaced by another. It's one flowing into the other.
Thank you for sharing that very personal story and the finding of light in a season that was at one point dark and bleak.
I'm very proud of my Irish pagan past. You know, I mean, the Celts have always been wanderers. And to a degree, we created that midwinter celebration, you know, which coincided with the Christian Christmas. You know, it was the celebrating, with the, you know, you mentioned, would the sun return? Would there be light? And of course, I think this is imbued in me. It's part of who I am. It's like the air I breathe. Yeah, there's always light. And I think that thinking of the people we are talking to this evening, that my hope and prayer for them is that whatever the darkness you're experiencing, I hope you'll find light. At the beginning of light, not dramatic, everything changes, but enough light that you can find meaning in the season.
That is a beautiful voice from Christmas past and Christmas present. Thank you for sharing that with us.
And now, if I may, Davis, with your Christmas permission, I now sign off, if I may.
Well, sign off by giving us a Celtic Christmas blessing.
First of all, on behalf of Chuck Luck and myself, Chuck, our producer, all the people here at the station, our loving best wishes to you and to your families, whatever your tradition is in this season of light. We are so grateful for this community in which we live, this love of community, which we call home. And may the light that we carry in our hearts may it be shared principally to begin with the families that we're associated with. If you're absent from family, may you find across the miles a sense of the love of that family. If you're gathering with that family, count these precious moments as being so special because we have today, the day, the season the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Davis, I am so grateful for you for reversing the roles here today. This was Chuck Luck's idea.
And
Chuck, to you and your family especially, blessings and safe travels to all of us. And thank you so much. And again, I hope these Christmas voices have been helpful to you. And thank you for being our faithful listeners and blessings, as we say in Ireland, blessings galore this holy time.
May it be so.
Amen.
Been listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host Tom McGovern. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health, celebrating 100 years of working to improve the health and quality of life in the communities we serve. Join us next Sunday for another edition of Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1, a service of Texas Tech Public Media.